is John Snyder, who's going to be talking to us about photosystem II heat tolerance in cotton. Thank you.
Thank you for that introduction. I'm John Snyder. I'm a crop physiologist at the University of Georgia. And as she said, I'll be talking about photosystem II heat tolerance in cotton. We write these really long titles, and then nobody really wants to read them off, when they get up here. So this talk will start off, really dealing with photosystem II heat tolerance, and then from there, at some point, it's going to transition more to a drought talk, and you'll see why as we go along. So photosystem II is one component of the photosynthetic apparatus. So let's talk a little bit about how photosynthesis in general responds to high temperature stress. If we track, photosynthetic response to temperature, the main reason I've got this graph up here is because it's just to pinpoint the point at which, or the point above which, photosynthetic declines occur in cotton, and it's somewhere around 35 degrees C. Now that's leaf temperature, all right? That's leaf temperature. And then there's a couple of papers here for your reading. There's some interesting research that's been done kind of trying to target the underlying mechanisms associated with that decline. That's not my goal here today, but anyway, those references are there. What about photosystem II heat tolerance? So I told you where that threshold is, right? I told you where the threshold is for photosynthesis. This is a busy graph, but if you come down here, this FVFM right here. That's a measure of the maximum quantum yield of photosystem II. And if you'll look here, this is for cotton. It doesn't really decline that much, right? It doesn't really decline that much, and we're out here about 45 degrees C. Somewhere mid-40s is where you start to see a decline in photosystem II efficiency. So, when is that really relevant? We've got a cotton plant, and I'll get to this here shortly. We've got a cotton plant that's really, really good at maintaining canopy temperatures below air temperature, assuming water is not limited, right? So, that's all this graph is really showing. It's showing the differential between leaf and air temperature. These lines here are just showing deviation from that well-watered baseline. So when we have drought, we have temperatures that are either at or above air temperature, or can be, or they might be slightly below air temperature, but the point is they're closer to air temperature. So you can actually see those kind of temperatures that might influence photosystem II in cotton. All right, but it has to be usually under this level of stress. And so this is a quote that I used, and it was kind of the rationale for a study that we did previously, which I'll also talk about here shortly. And the idea here is if we have a genotype that is more plastic in response to environment, all right, it's more responsive to environment, then in theory, it should have more stable yields across environments, all right? May not have the highest yields, have more stable yields across environments, okay? And so we wanted to know, and that photosystem II heat tolerance is one thing, right? It's one parameter. But we wanted to know, for example, if I've got photosystem II that readily acclimates to water deficit conditions by increasing heat tolerance, right, as one possible coping mechanism, then if we have greater plasticity, we should see greater yield stability, okay? So we had these two varieties. It's only two varieties here, but all this yield variability we know was water-induced. Irrigation was scheduled in this study using pre-dawn water potential, so we're fairly happy with the, saying that, okay, this yield variability, photosynthetic variability, was water-induced, okay? So look at the dashed line here. I'm going to talk a little bit about what all this is. So we've got photosynthesis on the left, and we've got environmental index. We've got lint yield on the right. These graphs are just stability analysis graphs, similar to what Eberhardt and Russell did back in the 60s, but just applying it to different parameters here. And so the negative values are environments where photosynthesis was below average. Positive values are where photosynthesis was above. Similar for yield. The dashed line, we've got a more stable variety there, okay, in this particular study where we altered water availability. So, in contrast with what we were thinking, which is often how this works, but in contrast with what we were thinking, heat tolerance was also more stable in this environment. So if you look here, the dash, you know, you look at the dash line, it was also more stable. So it wasn't more responsive to environment. It was also more stable. But look at the level of heat tolerance we have. These are some pretty extreme values. You know, is there a need for a plant to be able to adjust photosystem to heat tolerance to this level? Okay, and I'll talk T15. I'll discuss that a little later on, but that's a threshold that we use. We say, okay, that's our way of defining heat tolerance. And you'll see how we do this here momentarily. That was one variety compared with another. You can't draw really broad conclusions about this when you compare one variety to another. So going on from there, okay, we've got statewide variety trials in multiple states, multiple locations within states. I saw this as an opportunity to assess both the stability of these varieties and to look at a larger number of varieties. And so I selected 6 cultivars just based on their response to environment. So if we had some that were under dryland conditions, the more correct term in Georgia is rain-fed. It's not always very dry, but under dryland conditions, we had some that responded by a reduction in yield. We had some that did actually, that did better than others under dryland conditions. So again, that was just sort of the rationale for selecting these 6 varieties. And then we had 21, and I'll just call them unique heat tolerance environments. So we know that environment affects photosystem 2 heat tolerance. We know that photosystem 2 is very plastic. So sample day, location, irrigation treatment, all of these things would be expected to affect heat tolerance. So they're their own unique environment. And what I will say is the sampling was done, just say up front, at first flower and peak bloom in cotton. So that was the window that we're dealing with. So from first flower to somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks thereafter, all right, is when we sampled all of these. And so we had locations, had 3 locations in Georgia in year 1, and each one of those we had rain-fed and irrigated. The second year I dropped a location just due to logistical issues, just being able to get everywhere at once, but we have 2 locations the second year, and then we added a location at Stoneville, Mississippi. All right, so sampling, leaf sampling. We collect the uppermost fully expanded leaf. We usually say that's the 4th node below the apical meristem in cotton. All this sampling, though, was done during pre-dawn hours to ensure that we had a maximum level of FVFM, all right, before we did our heat tolerance assessments. So why am I showing, this beautiful picture of a cotton growing out here in the middle of the day? It's because the slide would look something like this, basically. All right, so we assess heat tolerance in the lab. We transport that leaf material back to the lab and use a thermoelectric heating cooling element. And we keep basically moist filter paper to prevent the leaf segments from desiccating. And then measure photochemical efficiency, measure maximum quantum yield in response to temperature. And so the temperature at which FVFM declines 15% from that optimum value, that maximum value, is just that threshold that we apply across the board. So it doesn't matter when we're sampling. This is our standardized heat tolerance assessment. So what about cultivar effects? No cultivar effects. If you look at cultivar main effects, okay, that's not terribly surprising. I'm expecting some level of plasticity in response to environment, some sort of genotype by environment interaction. If you read the abstract, we had some sampling that was done during squaring, but to keep this uniform across all environments, kind of changed that between then and this meeting, of course. And if we look at this, we look at cultivar by environment. Within an environment, no significant differences. Now, when you do a study of this magnitude, and you're the guy that's out there pre-dawn and do this, it's a little disappointing, right? You do this, and there's no cultivar effects within a particular environment, all right? And this is where the talk shifts, okay? There is an effect of environment. So look, if we look here, here's our T15 values. And again, you can treat this just like an index, right? From 41 down to 44.92 across these 2 years, there's a very pronounced effect of environment. All right, so photosystem 2 is very plastic in response to environment. Heat tolerance of photosystem 2, I got to say it correctly, heat tolerance of photosystem 2 is very plastic in response to environment. So what are some of the environmental factors that could be affecting this? This was part, and again, you know, the talk is now shifting, but this is a part of a much larger study where we're looking at predon water potential, predon respiration, various things like this. Okay, we're looking at there's several different things going on in this study, but since we have the data, let's go ahead and look at what might actually be affecting photosystem 2 heat tolerance. So what are some of these environmental parameters? So you would think ambient temperature conditions prior to your sample time would have an effect here, right? I mean, I anticipated this. You start kind of mining data, looking through the data. There was no effect. I couldn't define any sort of meaningful relationship. And probably part of that has to do with the fact that we're dealing with rain-fed and irrigated fields, right? As kind of expected. If you look at predon water potential, though, there is a relationship there, okay? Meaning that photosystem 2 heat tolerance acclimates to water based on water availability, which to me is very interesting here, okay? Now this is sort of shifting. If we look at this, you would expect, if that happens, you would expect FVFM, just measured in the field, measured on those leaves that we sampled in the field, you'd expect it to be very stable across these environments, right? And that is the case, right? And we've seen this, not just in this study, multiple other studies where FVFM stays stable. Even light-adjusted quantum yield stays stable across, even under exposure to severe water deficit stress in cotton, all right? So during the day, we have electron transport staying very stable. Photosynthesis, though, net photosynthesis drops off substantially, okay? So there is carbon most likely being lost due to photorespiration, which we've also documented, okay? So what was interesting is we also have respiration data that was collected during these predawn hours. Very sensitive to environment, negatively affected by the water deficit treatments. So my view on things is, okay, we have a plant that is most likely experiencing severe photosynthetic declines during the day. There's a lot of carbon that's probably being lost due to photorespiration, and this is one mechanism by which I think, you know, heat tolerance acclimation is one way to maintain the stability of photosystem 2. This is one way to offset the carbon losses that happen during the day. Again, that's just my take on it, and with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Different techniques for measuring photosystem 2. So what I will say is this. If I had a method by which I could rapidly assess light adjusted leaves, I guess that's the correct term, that's what I would do, okay? Because now let's get away from the drought question here, right? Let's get away from that for a second. I would expect to see this in light-adjusted leaves. If you look at the literature, you know, there's a lot of literature kind of trying to define, is it electron transport that's limited under high temperature stress? Is it, or limiting photosynthesis? Is it Rubisco activase? And there's great literature out there on this. I have seen when we have light-adapted leaves and you do this assessment in the lab, but again, you can really only track, it's just a limitation to the setup, right? I would expect that to be more sensitive. Would we pick out differences between cultivars? I don't know, but I would expect that to be more sensitive. Photosystem 2, though, which is the point, right, that what you're asking, you need dark adapted leaves And you need a true measure of FEFM. You're basically separating photosystem 2 out from all of those other components that can be affected, okay? That's really the only way to do it, as far as everything that I've read on this. Yes? Over here? So we're down. There's the yield there on the y-axis. So, you know, we're going from, if you think about it, now this was a separate study, you know, bear in mind, this was kind of a study we did beforehand that led us into this larger one. But yeah, we're going from, you know, 4 bale cotton yields all the way, you know, going down to 2. You know, this is it's a pretty substantial yield variation.